So think of the biggest problem you have in your life right now. What's that huge challenge? You know, the thing that's really stuck in your crawl that's like, you know, getting you pretty upset. What if I were to tell you that that is not your problem? Your real problem is the language that you have about your life. Our perspectives create our reality. One person could be going through a divorce and it could be the worst thing ever. Another person could be going through a divorce and it's the best thing ever. What's the difference? It's not the spouse. It's not the person that's they're getting divorced to. It is their perspective about their challenges. Today, we're going to learn 7 powerful words that will change your life forever and make it more beautiful. I cannot wait to share these 7 words with you. The revolution is here. I'm talking about a good mood revolution. The Good Mood Show is officially evolving and rebranding to the Good Mood Revolution. There's a lot of reasons because of this, but the biggest one is that you can't just put on a fake happy smile and feel good. We know that choosing good moods means also facing our bad moods, of facing our darkness within, and learning how to overcome it. Because happiness is a choice. It's a choice of our perspective. So the Good Mood Show you love is going to continue on under the new name, The Good Mood Revolution. Get ready for the journey. So what if I told you that every problem in your life right now comes down to one thing, the words you speak out loud? On average, we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. But studies found that we're only speaking about 6,000 words a day. This means that every word that comes out of your mouth is 10 times more powerful than the thoughts in your head. When I first learned this idea that my words were creating my life, I was absolutely floored. It was 2005, and I had just read the book, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And in that book, she said, your thoughts become things. And she also said, everything in your life right now is there because of you. The words you're thinking and the thoughts that you're having are creating your entire life. And at the time, I thought I had a lot of problems and I thought that I had a lot of enemies and I thought I had a lot of things going wrong. And this was like a huge epiphany. In fact, I got so excited about it. I was like texting all my friends late into the night about, hey, your thoughts are things. Did you know this? Like it was a big like awakening for me that day. And I said, well, shoot, anything I don't like is probably because of my thoughts. So I'll just change my thoughts. I've since learned that not every single thing in life is because of my thoughts. There are 7 billion other people and they all have thoughts of their own that are creating. There's also an ultimate creator of everything. And sometimes things just happen, right? And so we'll talk a little bit about that today, about what to do when we don't create the things in our life and how to accept them. But it is a really good idea to notice that your thoughts are creating your life, and specifically the words you're speaking are creating your life. And if you want a better business life, speak better words in business. If you want a better financial life, speak better words in finance. If you want better relationships, speak better words in relationships, and all these things will improve. And our guest today certainly understands this. That's why I was so excited to have this conversation. She runs the podcast, The Word Effect, and has just produced a book called The Word Effect. Her name is Becky Kemp, and she is dedicated to sharing the power found in positive words. Becky, welcome to the Good Mood Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Oh, man. So when was it that you had this epiphany that words were creating your life?
I probably heard things along the way, but a big time in my life was about 2014. So about 10 years ago, I found myself stuck in a lot of areas and I was looking that other people needed to change. My husband needed to make more money. My kids needed to be better behaved. If we didn't have this business deal go bad, I could be happy. I was looking for outside circumstances to change. And if everybody outside of me would change, I could find joy. And I found that one day, I've always been a prayerful person, and I got on my knees and I prayed to God and I just was frustrated. And I had this little thought come to me. And the thought was, change your words and you can change your life. And for so long, my prayers were, change everybody else. Like, I can't deal with this. And I was suffering with depression, anxiety, and just all these things, even though I looked put together. And that was the start of me learning about the power of words. Before that, I had had different experiences that I share in my book about how words have taught me lessons. But over the last 10 years, I've had a really conscious focus that what you think about, you really bring about. What you just shared in that story that you learned from The Secret. Our thoughts become things. They really do. And so often we give that power away to other things or outside circumstances instead of like gaining our own awareness of what we're thinking about. We can create.
You also said that you're a very prayerful person. And so one of the people or one of the entities we should be speaking with is our creator. And our prayers are so powerful. And, you know, I fully believe any sincere prayer, every single sincere prayer is answered, especially when we're asking for answers or understandings. And your prayer, sometimes, when I was a kid, I prayed for a new baseball mitt. You know, that prayer may not be answered when we pray for things or if we're trying to pray for someone else to change. But anytime I'm sincerely asking God to change my perspective or let me see things from a new way or to give me the insight that I need, it's always answered when I'm sincere and I truly want to get over whatever I'm dealing with and see things from a higher point of view. And I love your story that you were on your knees praying to see things differently and it's crazy. You get a very clear answer. And so you had this clear answer, examine your words.
Yeah. Well, and what was interesting is that prayer, what I remember was I was looking at myself instead of saying, give me this and give me that and change this. I was like, I think I should be happier than I am today. And if there's something I can do to change this, I am open to it. Like I was open to changing me. And then that's when the inspiration came. And then from there, I've learned along the way so many different things. I didn't know exactly what that meant, but it put me on the path to where I am today. And I'm still learning.
I just said a prayer Sunday morning. I'm in the editing phase of my upcoming book.
Okay.
The book is The Good Mood Revolution, because it's revolutionary to actually feel good in today's society, because most people feel the way that I did, back in 2005 when I was struggling with everybody else being my problem and the way that you did back in 2014.
Yeah.
And so it's a revolution, kind of like a wake up, like, holy cow. As soon as this clicks, like we wake up and everything starts to become more clear about how we're creating all of it with our thoughts. But my prayer Sunday morning, I was praying, I'm writing one of the chapter I'm working on is the chapter on taking responsibility, which is right in line with what we're talking about. And I didn't know if I should even include this chapter or if a different chapter should be in its place. And so I just prayed for clarity. And I got a very clear over and over and over again message to talk about getting people out of victimhood. And it was like so clear. I love it when I have a prayer and the answer is just crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And before we realize that our thoughts and our words are creating, there is a lot of victim mentality going on. In your book, you describe 7 simple words to create your most beautiful life. What's the first of those 7 words?
Okay, well, the first word is acknowledging. And acknowledging that you want something more out of your life. So my simple prayer 10 years ago was me acknowledging that I wanted something more, that I specifically went to my higher power and said, what can I do? And I took that power back within me. When I was a little girl, I always wanted to write a book and be a speaker. That was my dream. But I did not pursue speaking and writing books because of fear. I let fear hold me back. And I just did what was safe. So I learned that by acknowledging your dreams or saying them out loud or sharing them with someone, it's like the universe really does open up for you and opportunity starts to come into your life. But you have to start out by acknowledging it or saying that I want something more. And so that to me is the first step. And sometimes that can be the hardest step because it's that vulnerability piece that this is something I want in my life or I want to have better. And you probably understand that. You said in 2005, you acknowledged that you wanted something different. And that was the start of it. So acknowledge is such a powerful word.
And when it's your deepest fear or your deepest desire, you know, this was a seed planted in you from the time you were a little girl to write books and speak. And it's such a, it's so personal to you and you want it so much that there's even a bigger fear of what if I'm not good enough?
Oh, I used to have this thought. I'd go to the bookstore and I'd think there are so many books there. I don't have an original idea. There's not, what can I come up with to write a book? That's how I used to think. And then I had a paradigm shift. And the paradigm shift was when I began to acknowledge that I wanted to, I realized there are so many books. Why is there not room for one more book? Like if all these people wrote a book, I surely can write a book too. And that shift went from looking at the negative to like, if there's that many books at the bookstore, surely there's room for one more book. And that just they're little shifts. And it changes everything.
Yeah. One of my buddies, David Osborne, said that every time he feels fear about if he's able or capable or if he can do this big thing, his mantra is, why not me? Why not? If they, like you just said, if they all can do it, why not me? And he said when he adopted this, why not me mindset, it kind of took a little bit of the edge of that fear out of it. And he's like, well, why not? And you just go for it. I agree. I think acknowledge is probably, it definitely is the foundation. And it's the hardest because our biggest enemy is all of these, this self-doubt and the negative self-talk that we have to overcome to go for it. But as soon as you do, I'm sure you've noticed, as soon as you go for your heart's desire, like everything starts to open up and all these crazy coincidences and all these people come out of the woodwork to help you. It's like everyone's conspiring for your dream to come true. They were just waiting for us to not be scared.
When I acknowledged my dream that I wanted to write a book, it wasn't too long after, like in a really short amount of time, I was at a event and I was on a panel about talking about addiction. And I was helping push the furniture around with another person that I didn't know. We were kind of helping get the room set up. And this lady goes, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I want to write a book about the power of words and how they have an effect in your life. And she looks at me and she goes, well, I work for this lady, so-and-so, and she has this program where she gets people started to write their book, be a media personality, and speak. She has this 15-week program. Would you want me to introduce her to you? And I'm like, well, yeah, well, she's here in the other room. It was the craziest thing. I mean, of all the people, there's me and her pushing furniture around, getting ready. And then she puts me in alignment with this lady that she was the very first person that I invested in myself. I remember it was $1,500, the first time I invested in my dreams. Because up until that point, I've been in, you know, helping other people, but never me. And that was the start. You know, and like you said, when you acknowledge things, all of a sudden the path becomes clear for the next step and the next step.
Lovely. Okay. So what's our second of these seven powerful words?
Okay. The next word is the power of ask. Now, asking good questions and becoming curious. So most of the time we don't know how we're going to get there, but there always is a how. But where most people find themselves focused on is the whys. Why is this happening to me? Why did I have to go through this? Why is the economy bad? Why is this not going the way I want? And when we focus on whys in that way, our brain picks up on it and says, oh, that's a negative. Let me show you more negative. So have you heard of the reticular activating system that all of our brains have? It's where our brains are processors, and we all have one, and our brain focuses on what it thinks is important to us. So for example, if I wanted to get a new red 4Runner, and that's like the dream car that I have on my mind, all of a sudden I start seeing a lot of red 4Runners. it's not that they're being made more of. It's just my brain's picked up on that. And it's like, oh, Becky's interested in that. So I'm going to show her more of that. So it's the same thing when we focus on the negative, our brain goes, okay, let me show you more of the negative. So instead of focusing on why is this happening, I invite people, and this is what I had to learn to do myself, is to focus on how do I move forward today? What's my how? And how breaks down to honesty, open-minded, and willingness. We have to be honest with our dreams or our desires, open-minded to do new things, and then willing to give it a try and see how it unfolds. So learning to ask just better questions of like, how do I write a book or how do I move forward, becoming aware to words, kept me on the journey to continue to create.
Yeah, I also think of my brain like a computer. And when I type into Google, why is this happening to me? That's a question that I ask my brain. It'll come up with a bunch of reasons. Oh, because you are bad, or because you deserve it, or because that person's awful, and because you have bad luck, right? So if I ask a really negative question, my brain will give me answers because it always answers every question I ask it. And so I love switching from that, why is this, to how can I go forward in a positive direction? Because as soon as I ask Google of my brain, hey, how do I make my life the best it can be? It'll say lots of answers. It'll say, oh, you could buy this book, or you could start exercising, or you could eat better, or you could call that really positive friend, or you could get on a podcast with Becky Kemp and start listening to her show and get all this positivity. So it is, our brains do answer everything we ask them. So we got to be very careful the questions we ask.
We do, because when we say why, our brain looks for the obstacles. When we say how, like you just said, it looks for solutions. It gives you a solution to start working on today. And then maybe tomorrow, right? So it's just a simple tweak, but work on asking, how do I step forward today instead of why is this happening to me? And that seems to make all the difference.
So we've got acknowledge and ask. What's our third of our seven words?
The third word is accept. And we have to learn to find acceptance in life because there's very little we have control of. So I'm a certified life coach. And I use what's called the model through the Life Coach School. And what it helps us see is that our thoughts drive our feelings and our feelings drive our actions. And our actions are what create our results, right? Well, so often we're not even aware to how we're feeling, but we're just frustrated that we're not creating the results that we need. And so we have to find acceptance of where we are in today. So I like to remind myself that I have to keep my head and my feet in today. You know, if I am thinking too much of the future, I do believe in future manifesting and thinking in the future, but it can create a lot of anxiety for people if you think too much in the future. If you think too much in the past, you go into regret and depression. So trying to keep myself in today and asking myself, what's my next step or how do I move forward today really seems to help, because I really don't have control over a lot of things, but I have control of my thoughts. And my thoughts are what determine my feelings, not my circumstances, my thoughts. And so as I learn to put on thoughts each day that matter to me, I can feel a certain way that also helps me take the actions to actually create the goals and the results that I'm really looking for.
Yeah. One of the chapters in my book is acceptance. And I talk about how we're not in control of everything. So it's so interesting because in 2005, when I read The Secret, I was like, oh my gosh, my thoughts are creating everything. And I just wanted to control every single thought and every single word. And that is really, really powerful because we do create so much with our language. But I took it too far. It like became my new religion. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just control everything. Like I thought I was the creator of the universe all of a sudden. And in acceptance, I talk about how sometimes things happen that in the moment look really bad. But if we could just fast forward 10 years and look back, we may say that challenge is exactly what I needed for the next step in my evolution. I just didn't know it at the time. So when I'm going through a challenging time, which happens, of course, to all of us, mm-hmm. I just pause and I say, it's the best thing for me to do right now is to accept that I don't know if this is good or bad, because I don't. There's a story I tell about a farmer, and the farmer's got horses, and a big storm comes through and the fence breaks and all the horses run off. And the neighbors come up and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your bad luck. So, you know, all this misfortune." And he said, "It could be bad or it could be good. I don't know. You know, time will tell." And so then him and his son go out and try to find the horses, and they find them out in the hills. And the horses had joined this group of wild stallions. And one of them was this big, beautiful black stallion. And they were able to rope them all in and bring them all back. And now they had double the horses plus this incredible horse. And his neighbors were like, "Oh my gosh, you're good luck." And he said, "Well, this could be good. It could be bad. I don't know. Only time will tell." And then his son gets on that black stallion to break it, and it bucks him and he breaks his leg really badly. And again, the neighbors are like, "Oh, you're bad luck." And he's like, "We don't know yet." Then the army comes through to recruit all able-bodied young men, and they spare the son from going off to war. You know, so it's, we don't know, you know, when our leg breaks, we think it's the end of the world, but what if it was sparing us from something? And this is kind of where my view of acceptance comes in, that we don't really, in the moment, sometimes we can get so upset about something that's actually a blessing.
Yeah, well, and we just have to learn to live life on life's terms. So one of my first experiences with the power of words was 10 years ago when I found myself stuck full of depression. I was listening to a Netflix documentary on food. It had nothing to do with the power of words, or I didn't think so. But I'll never forget, I heard this little advice: put these words in your life. "I accept myself unconditionally right now." And the words were, and the challenge was, write them down if you need to and say them to yourself every morning, middle of the day, and the evening. Well, I paused it and I rewound it, and I had to actually listen to it a couple times because I was not accepting myself unconditionally. I was full of self-hatred and loathing and victimhood. And so I heard that and I thought, huh, I have nothing to lose, everything to gain. So I got me a little 3x5 card and I was like, I don't even have to tell anyone I'm doing this. So I wrote, "I accept myself unconditionally right now. And I put it on a little 3x5 card and put it in my bathroom mirror because I'm pretty consistent at brushing my teeth every morning and night. So I thought, you know, as I brush my teeth, I'm going to say those words to myself. Well, I did it. I did it for 2 or 3 days. Nothing happened. But, you know, over time, I began to accept myself unconditionally. And there was a time when something hard happened not too long after. And those words came to my mind and it was like, but I'm okay right now. Like, I accept myself. I'm learning. I'm growing. That mantra has completely transformed my life. And I offer it to people all the time, helping you find those words that you need to put in your life just for today. Finding those little sayings or words that guide you to live in a life of acceptance, because we all have to, right?
What was the challenging thing that had happened?
I think it was, I was moving forward with, I found that I had some issues and addiction issues with food. And I actually work a 12-step program with food addiction. And I didn't know that I was struggling there. I have a lot of body image issues, a lot of body dysmorphia issues. I was like kind of a, what you would call an exercise bulimic. And what happened was when I started to find solutions, because I started to ask questions about how, and God was putting me on a path of healing, I had to learn to accept who I was at that moment, instead of fighting against it. Like, no, 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 this isn't the plan. I don't want this to be my life. I want this, you know, and learning to find acceptance. So just learning those words. But I say those to myself as a, you know, writing a book, it, you have a plan of how long you want it to take or how you're going to get it out. Mine took much longer than I thought. I got it all done as it was a memoir. And then the people that were helping me said, "What do you really want from this book?" And I said, "This is what I really want." And they said, "Well, you need to go back and rewrite this part and make it more of a self-help book." And I was like, "I don't want to do that. Like, I've worked so hard." And it took me 2 more years to rearrange it and, you know. And so learning to find acceptance along the way has been key to moving forward. And you know what? I learned so much. It's helped me make my book even better. I'm so glad that I was patient and went along the way, right?
Thank you for sharing that story, and so powerful too. I see someone that helps me with energy healing. And anytime I have an emotion, a challenging emotion stuck in my body somewhere, And the phrase I repeat is, I deeply love myself and I deeply accept myself. So feeling this emotion is okay. And I accept it. I accept myself well. I'm feeling this emotion. And in her, this is Kim Kologi. She was on the show very early in the show. Her experience found that there's so many things about ourselves that we don't accept. And when that happens, we actually create a lot of pain in our life and a lot of suffering unnecessarily. So yeah. I love that you shared that story.
Yeah.
The next one's a fun one.
Abundance.
Abundance. Who doesn't want to be abundant?
I know.
So what are your thoughts about abundance?
Well, I like to think of abundant thinking that there's enough for everybody. Back to what I told you about, there is enough room for me to have a book and you to have a book and anybody that wants to have a book. There is enough goodness out there. If we focus on the negative, our brain's going to show us all the negative. It's kind of like watching the 10 o'clock news. If you watch the 10 o'clock news, the world seems pretty dark sometimes, but there are so many people and so much goodness happening in our world, and people are out sharing light and goodness. And so we want to focus our thoughts there. We at least want to give equal airtime to the good, right? So think back during the COVID years. There was so much fear, right? And if we sat and just focused on the fear, it shut people down. And some people, I think, are still shut down from that. But there was so many good opportunities that came through those COVID years. And in 2020, I became a member of the National Speakers Association because I really wanted to pursue speaking. And one of the goals was to get 20 paid speaking opportunities in 2020. And guess what? I was able to do that through virtual and through finding opportunities. So there is a lot of abundance out there, even when the world or your brain's going to tell you, this is not the time. This is not the time. And at first I started to think, why didn't I start this 2 years ago? But see, it's that why question. And so then instead I changed to how do I move forward? And opportunities began to present themselves. And they were just different than what I thought.
Lovely. Again, coming back to our words and the questions we ask ourselves. Yeah, of course. In fact, I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. And pre-COVID, I would go see him and there'd be 5,000 people there. And then during COVID, he had 200,000 people, right? So the opportunity to speak when it seemed like it had gone away for everyone that wasn't thinking how had actually become even greater. And when you start to say, how could we do this? How could we make an impact? What's the next? So we've got three more of these powerful words.
Hey, the next word is action. But what I want to help people see with action is sometimes we think of taking action from a linear way, and it's that push energy, that push and like, I got to do more. I need more time. If only I had more time, if only I was more talented, if only, and learning to find your gifts and who you were sent here to be and taking action from there. So the simple way that I talk about the power of words is I talk about putting on words each and every day. In 2015, after I started finding the power of words, I started a positive t-shirt and apparel business called Becoming Threads. Let what you wear tell your story. Me and my sister-in-law teamed up. Between us, we had 10 kids and had never run a business, but we started. And we started putting positive message on fun apparel, mainly for women. Phrases like, keep it simple, first things first, easy does it, choose happy. And I found that woman after woman would want the shirts because those words were reminders to them, simple reminders. And so taking action with simple reminders of what your goals are and who you are meant to be has been pivotal, right? And I remember I told you that it's what we feel is what creates action. So deciding, I want to feel joyful today, or I want to feel confident today, helps me show up doing the things that maybe seem hard, you know, like sitting down and writing the book, learning how to break it up. I get asked all the time, well, how did you write the book? I did it one page at a time, and I would set time blocks. And I coach and teach about time blocking, 15 minutes or 25 minutes every day, you know, different things like that. It wasn't like I just sat that down and the creative juices just flew in. I had to show up to my dream every day. And over time, it became amazing.
And you took action. Yeah, that was actually, this word, action, was my first disagreement with The Secret. Because Rhonda said you could just sit there on your couch in a lotus position and visualize checks showing up in your mailbox instead of bills. And then you would just walk out to your mailbox and, checks. Like, how amazing. And I'm like, no, like it doesn't work unless you do. That's how I feel. And so it's, I agree, like totally agree with her that I need to visualize what I want. But then this word, action, is the missing piece, I think, from her manifestation equation, is that once I decide what I want, then I have to take purposeful action to make it happen. And I like what you said, that it's not saying I'm not doing enough. I think it's not that we're not doing enough. Maybe it's just that our priorities aren't in the right place. And so if I want checks to show up in my mailbox instead of bills, maybe I'm not prioritizing my career.
Well, I could still be thinking about writing the book, but I had to take action. I had to sign up with a coach and start doing the first steps. I had to outline the book. I had to start writing the book. I had to hire an editor. I found a publisher, right? Like, and I didn't do it all at once. I took one step at a time. So taking action is, it's like that saying, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time, right? Like, you can't take on the whole big project. You have to do one thing at a time. And we learn when we tap into our own intuition, we learn what that next step is. And so taking action from a place of confidence or commitment, I have had to learn how to be committed to my dreams and goals more than I was committed to anything else. And that takes a mindset of putting on positive words. So that's what I help people think about. Like, what words do you need today? What words are going to keep you moving forward with your dreams? They might be different from mine. And that's why I love sharing these 7 simple words, because you're hearing things and going, oh, I've experienced that word too. And we can have these awesome conversations. And that's what I had when people were purchasing the t-shirts. They would say, I need those words. And then they would tell me their story. And that story would empower me. And that's what I love.
Oh, I feel so bad when I see someone with a t-shirt with swear words on it.
Yeah. Or negative, snarky.
And I'm like, you do not understand what, I know you think it's funny or sarcastic or whatever, but labeling yourself in this negative way is only creating more negativity. So, but you see it. You see the people out there, or the bumper stickers that you're just like, okay, you're spreading hate with, you want the message of hate on your car. Great. I wonder what's going to happen from that for you. So 2 more words in your 7 powerful words. What's the second to last one?
The next one is appreciate. And appreciate goes hand in hand with gratitude. But what I love about the power of appreciation is it's really being grateful for what is happening in the moment, appreciating what is happening. So they say what you appreciate appreciates, right? So if you appreciate your life, it will actually appreciate. If you don't appreciate it, it won't. And so remembering to appreciate. So taking a few minutes, I love to, at the end of each day, appreciate at least 3 things that happened good in my life today. Like appreciating in the moment what's going good, or articulating that, being grateful out loud. So appreciating what is happening, because you want your brain to focus on the good of what's happening. If you don't, your brain will focus on, but you didn't get this done and this isn't accomplished. But as you appreciate, it will grow and you'll start to see momentum happen in your life.
I love it. One of my favorite things. And it's actually a question I ask myself every morning. What do I appreciate? And it's also our prayer at dinner. Every dinner is a prayer of gratitude to God about what we appreciate. And it's so fun because my children, it rotates who's going to say the prayer. And so it's really fun to watch them say thank you. And they like say thank you for good things happening in their siblings' lives, which is fun.
Well, and as you start to look for that, you see more of it, right? Like you're empowering your kids to sit down at the end of the day and they're noticing what is good happening in their life. So at the end of the day, they go to sleep and they're going, there was some good things today, instead of going to bed feeling like a victim and not right. Like it, the day is still the same, but it's where you focus.
Totally. All right. Our last of the seven words.
The last word is aspire. And what I love about aspiring, like I said earlier, the power of words isn't necessarily linear. To me, it's more of a circular motion. And so aspiring means you aspire, just like getting to the top of one mountaintop, there's always another one. You know, as you move forward, there's a new challenge. There's always new obstacles. Last year, as I was trying to finish my book and get it published, we felt impressed to move. We put our house up for sale. Everything fell into line. We were moving into a house that we had fixed up. My husband's in the mortgage business, and the mortgage business was kind of tanking off with the interest rates. And we felt like everything was aligning until we went to closing. We signed the paperwork and the people decided not to show up. And we had already moved, and all of a sudden we were stuck with two houses. And it was a really challenging time because we didn't have control of a situation that we thought we had done all of our due diligence. But what I had to remind myself is that I could take these power of words. I could acknowledge the situation. I could begin to ask better questions. I could accept where we were at. I could think abundantly, take action, appreciate, to move myself forward in this new situation that I didn't expect to happen 3-5 years ago. Because we're always learning and we're always growing. So aspiring is taking the power of words and letting these be your compass to lead and guide you through your life's journey.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing these seven powerful words. And it's just so fun to talk about how it really is our perspective that creates our life.
Yes.
So there is going to be people here listening that are going to want to get your book and learn more from you. How do people reach out?
The best way, my website is becomingwithbecky.com. It's all about, you know, if you're wanting to improve upon yourself, join me. I'm still working on myself as well. That's an easy way. You can get the book on Amazon as well, or through Leadership Books, but all of the information you'll find on my website.
Becky, thank you so much for this conversation. And y'all, thank you for listening. Hope you loved it as much as I did. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.